This first recording ever of Bach's Goldberg Variations was made by Wanda Landowska on harpsichord in 1933. Twenty-two years later, history was made by the Canadian pianist Glenn Gould when he recorded it in a strikingly different way on the piano, putting into the world's ears a remarkable new sound. Glenn Gould, interviewed in the 60s by John McClure.
Your tempi tend generally not to fall into the routine and accepted tempi. Now, why is this? Is this sort of a perverse desire to do something different from what everyone else has done?
It's certainly perverse. I think that if there's any excuse at all for making a recording, it's to do it differently, to approach the work from a totally recreative point of view, that one is going to perform this particular work as it has never been heard before. And if one can't quite do that, I would say abandon it, forget about it, move on to something else where you can feel a little differently about it.
Is this because you want Glenn Gould to be different, or are you consciously trying to shock the audience into a totally new awareness?
I would like to shock them to the extent that from the first note they should be aware that something slightly different is about to happen. I want to get their attention.
While not everyone agrees on the merits of Gould's style of playing Bach, everyone agrees that he did one thing. He did make us think differently about how Bach is played on the modern piano. He got our attention. We are still thinking about it 20 years after Glenn Gould.
If you play Bach on the piano, you have to consider that it's a piano you're playing.
Pianist Edward Aldwell.
The argument for playing Bach on the piano is, I think, not just that the piano can make Bach sound good, but the other way around is also true. I think that it can sound good on the piano. It's possible for very beautiful and expressive sounds to come out.
When I'm playing Bach,
pianist Angela Hewitt,
I don't actually think of playing the piano. I think more of the human voice. I think of stringed instruments a lot. I'm influenced by the organ, I'm influenced by a Baroque orchestra.
For the next hour, Bach, as it is played on the piano, by Glenn Gould during the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, by some before him, but also Bach as it is played right now, by Edward Aldwell, Vladimir Feltzman, Angela Hewitt, Murray Pariah, Sergei Shepkin, and Maria Tipo, and others. I'm Sarah Fischko. I hope you'll stay with me. Part 1, The Gould Factor. Most pianists who play Bach these days do not play Bach casually. They generally play a great deal of Bach, if they play him at all. And even something as simple as that may go back to the Glenn Gould influence. No one before him, not even Rosalind Turek or Wanda Landowska, played so much Bach, and no Bach pianist was heard by so many. What was the effect of all this, and how does it sound 20 years after his death? Did he open us up to the idea of many interpretations or stamp his own indelible one on our brains? Have pianists learned from him or had to almost overcome Glenn Gould's immense personality as a pianist? Angela Hewitt is a Canadian pianist just at the end of a decade-long project to record all the Bach keyboard music.
I remember when I was perhaps 4 years old or four or five, running into the room where our television was, black and white, of course, in those days, and seeing this guy sitting at the piano, practically sitting on the floor. And I said to my parents, "Who's that kook?" And they said, "That's Glenn Gould." And one of my first LPs, which I think I still have somewhere, was his recording of the 2 and 3 part inventions. And we'd listen to that when we'd be learning a new one. But, you know, it was sort of funny, really, because if the piece was traditionally played slowly, he'd play it quickly. And if it was a fast piece like the F major 2-part invention, well, he played it quite slowly. From him, we realized the clarity, I think, that you needed to play Bach and the perfectionism. I mean, in a way, he sort of dissected Bach a little bit.
I mean, first of all, it was an absolutely extraordinary talent. I think, you know, nobody argues that.
Edward Aldwell. He's a distinguished music educator and pianist who's recorded and performed a huge amount of Bach in the past 20 years.
In terms of just technical equipment, those fingers were as good as any pianist, I think, that's ever been. The ability to play fast with just incredible articulation and clarity. One can't help but be just astonished by that. He certainly was one of the most original, I think, of performers in just his conception of how the music should be played. And I think that was both, to my mind, a good thing and a bad thing. All of his performances, to me, seem incredibly alive and sometimes really reveal what's in the music, whereas the originality sometimes takes over what I think is actually going on in the music.
When I was in the States, in one of my tournées, a friend of mine gave me a record from Glenn Gould.
Maria Tipo was born the same year as Gould, played concerts for 50 years, and retired a few years ago. Her recordings of the Bach-Goldberg variations and partitas were successful even in America, though she seldom played here in concert.
So this was the first time I heard him. It was very, very impressive. It was so personal, and his personality, and Goldberg variation, and partita, and suite. The first record he made, it was really, for me, it's very personal, this. The sonority was very round, very, very big, not preoccupied to be a little Bach, you know, like a child. No, no, absolutely. It was a vitality, you know, very much vitality.
I still remember to this day going into the music library at the University of Ottawa.
Angela Hewitt.
And getting out that first Gould record and putting it on and listening to it over the headphones. And I enjoyed the sense of fearlessness that Gould had in that. With the hand crossing and just total fearlessness.
Recordings of Bach, I was completely struck by the rightness of what I was hearing. It sounded absolutely right to me.
Sergei Shepkin is a Russian-born pianist whose recordings of the Goldberg variations and partitas have attracted attention. He lives in Boston now, and his Well-Tempered Clavier is coming out later this year.
It just was Bach. I equated Bach with Gould. Bach was God, and Gould was his prophet. I was so happy when I saw, you know, the Soviet release of Gould's recording of Bach's English Suite. I was absolutely crazy about the recording, and still am in many ways. There was no overt sentimentality of any kind. Well, he himself said that one has to play the piano ecstatically, and he certainly did.
Actually had quite a following in Russia, I would say a cult.
The Russian pianist Vladimir Feltsman came to America 15 years ago. In the 1990s, he gave a notable four-year series of Bach concerts covering most of the major keyboard works.
I would go for his early recordings, English suites in particular. He was very hot, he was very young, and that sense of urgency, I think sense of discovery of sorts. A certain sense of innocence and less mentality. In his later years, he would become a bit more mental, not in a negative way, but still. Sound very modern than avant-garde. I mean, when I use this word avant-garde, it means free. Century, make it very expressive, very, very human, and very intense.
You're listening to 20 Years After Glenn Gould on WNYC. I'm Sarah Fischko. It seems like the most normal thing in the world now to hear Bach's music played on the piano rather than the harpsichord, even though there were no pianos in Bach's time. And it's more common now to hear the music more or less as Bach wrote it, which wasn't always the case. In fact, it used to be quite rare to hear Bach played as written. Liszt, Busoni, Godovsky, Rachmaninoff, and others made their own fantasies and arrangements based on Bach. Busoni even had the audacity to rearrange the Goldberg variations, dropping whole sections and revamping others. So the original Bach sounded like this. The more florid, expanded Busoni version sounded like this. And such hyphenated works, Bach, Busoni, Bach, Godofsky, and so on, were embraced by a public that idolized the piano virtuoso. And they may have been charming in their own way, and they were not Bach. Nowadays, the idea of arranging Bach to suit a modern audience is absurd. The modern audience wants the original, even if it's not necessarily played on an original instrument. This is part two of our hour, The Bach Factor.
Curiously enough, there was a period, it probably starts even before Gould's death, but certainly right afterwards, where it really wasn't a very cool thing to play Bach on the piano.
Edward Aldwell.
Whereas in the, I guess, probably last 20 years or so, it's not considered to be a particularly bizarre thing at all, except perhaps by a few, you know, very serious early music people.
I remember a discussion I had, in fact, with Clifford Curzon in the 70s, who is a wonderful pianist, and he said, you know, you cannot play Bach on the piano. You just cannot do it.
Murray Pariah has become a Bach pianist only lately, after a career of playing Chopin, Schumann, and Mozart. Pariah found solace in Bach's music during his efforts to recover from a hand injury some years ago, and has since recorded the Goldbergs and other works to much acclaim.
And I remember reading something that Arau had written at that very time, saying the same thing. Even the major pianists were saying that you can't play Bach on the piano. And in a way, that was one of the main inspirations for me wanting to do it. Because I felt this is nonsensical. It can't be that one of the greatest composers of all time cannot be played by pianists. It just doesn't make sense.
Murray Pariah, recorded in 2000.
And there is an aspect of the way I see Bach that's very opposite to the way Glenn Gould sees it. It's inevitable. He wants very much at all times to see the counterpoint. And while that's very laudable, I think that the counterpoint adds up to harmony, and that unless there's a harmonic flow in it, the line is compromised. That this music is very expressive, and I think that you have to use all the expressive capabilities in order to say what is going on in the music, which is, you know, deeply spiritual and deeply feeling. There's a mistake about calling this kind of playing romantic. The minute that you get playing that has feeling in it, critics immediately say, well, that's romantic. Well, it's not romantic, it's just music with feeling. Thank you. there were all of these great pianists. In fact, Edwin Fischer's book of the Well-Tempered Clavier is for me one of the great piano records there is. And then it died. It was only Glenn Gould, and it was only playing in this very special way that he had. And somehow to play Bach with the pedal and to play Bach using the sounds that the piano could give you was considered something you didn't do.
When I'm playing Bach, I don't actually think of playing the piano.
Angela Hewitt.
So I'm not just thinking, oh, here I am playing the piano and I must, you know, do big crescendos and diminuendos because the piano's capable of it and I must use the pedal because it's there. I don't. In fact, I use very little pedal also. But what I do use the piano for is to sustain those lovely melodic lines, which the harpsichord can't do.
Angela Hewitt, recorded in 2000.
There are a lot of pianists who really, for my taste, make it sound too much like Chopin or whatever, the romantic composers, and that, for me, is wrong, because it shouldn't. It should still sound Baroque and still be very conscious of the performance practices of the time. My style in Bach is just about the opposite to Gould in many ways. I mean, mine is a very lyrical style, very fluid, not as pointillistic as his. I mean, he was a genius, much more of a genius than I am or ever will be or whatever, but also his personality is totally different. He was neurotic. I'm really quite normal. And all of that comes out in your playing.
Hewitt's latest Bach recording. Thank you.
had most of Turek's Well-Tempered Clavier, I think, again, on LP as a kid, and I listened to those and enjoyed them as well, although her tempi were certainly a lot different from Glenn Gould's, mostly a lot slower. So you could, you know, right away I heard that there were these great contrasts in Bach and that there was no one way to play it.
Rosalind Turek, 1948.
That's what's great, I think, about the major Bach interpreters we've had. You hear two bars of their playing Bach, and you know who it is. You know if it's Turek, you know if it's Gould. You know if it's Andras Schiff. Richter. So that's interesting, really, and I think that's very important. He wrote so little in the score. Of course, a lot of people just listening to Bach don't know that. But whereas in romantic music or contemporary music, every little thing is marked, the dynamic, whether you should play loud or soft, how fast. In Bach, we have nothing. We have the notes. We have a few little slurs here and there. We have no tempo markings. We have might have the odd dynamic, but I mean hardly anything. Because there's so little there, it really left a lot of freedom to the interpreter, even in Bach's day, and still nowadays.
Pianist Angela Hewitt. You're listening to Pianists discuss Bach, piano playing, Glenn Gould, and music in general on a special program 20 years after Glenn Gould. This is Sarah Fischko. Coming up, Vladimir Feltsman and others after a break. Now, back to 20 years after Glenn Gould.
You know, music itself, and especially music of Bach, it's a certain model.
Vladimir Feltsman.
You would have 24 different artists. They would paint you an apple and a peach, and it will be 25 different apple as peaches. So, same with music of Bach. It is a certain model, and then, you know, once in a while, some good guys comes, and they tell you what is there, so somewhere else, then come and he can take it somewhere else.
Vladimir Feltsman, recorded in 1999.
Thank you. play Bach basically without pedal, but in certain places when you have to connect the voices, you could use it very discreetly. Happy with piano. And piano is a very neutral instrument. It could be anything you want, if you mastered it. But I think that instrument for Bach is of secondary importance. Bach was possibly one of the greatest transcribers ever lived. He transcribed his own music, different music, Albinoni, Tareri, Vivaldi, Buxtehude, Fresco, whatever, you name them. He transcribed his own music for different groups of instruments, you know it. So, as far as I'm concerned, the loyalty should be to the spirit of music and understanding of that music and spirit of Baroque culture. You have to know ornamentation, articulation, certain gestures, certain rhetorics of Baroque's vocabulary, which Bach masters as no one before or after him. And then if you do, you can play Bach on anything. It plays itself now. I don't do anything anymore. There is no mental activity involved much into it. The process is very spontaneous and instinctive. I'm not anymore, you know, what tempo should I take? What dynamic? What should I do? That's not. It's all gone. It's kind of comes through the medium of this whatever body, this consciousness. And with Bach, the intensity and the clarity and purity of this process is second to none.
Pianist Vladimir Feltzman from the Goldberg Variations.
When I first heard Gould play
Edward Aldwell,
I was, greatly impressed. And I listened to other recordings of his and all of that. What I didn't realize at the time, and I couldn't have realized then, I suppose, that certain things were already fixed in my approach to playing Bach, even though I wasn't quite aware of it. And those certain things came from listening to Wanda Landowska's recordings when I was a kid. One can, of course, talk about, like Gould, the amazing technical articulation that was there, the amazing energy. The best rhythm of any performer I've ever heard in my life, but most importantly, I think, was you would listen to her play these pieces, even the ones she misinterpreted, and you could not escape the fact that they were just overwhelmingly great pieces. Much of what turned into, I guess you'd say, the way I play Bach comes very much from that. Now, of course, one could ask the question, well, why didn't I go into the harpsichord? To tell the truth, I really liked Chopin a lot. And I didn't find it at all unsatisfactory playing Bach on the piano. So that was kind of the way it worked.
Edward Aldwell, recorded 1989.
It's funny, in a way, the whole matter of influence by other performers One of the things that one used to hear very commonly from teachers, very bad for students to listen to recordings because then they just imitate the performers. Well, yes and no. If a performer plays something really, really well, maybe it's not such a bad thing to try to do the same thing. But then the other aspect of it is, I can try to imitate Schnabel, but you know, I can't. It's not going to happen. That is, one can pick up on certain surface things, but what caused that to happen in Schnabel, or in Glenn Gould for that matter, is something entirely different, and that can't be reproduced.
In all my life, I try to be very personal and very original. You know, if I make an imitation, it's not good.
Maria Tipo.
Like a painter, they paint something. There are some other painters, they make a copy. We must do something come from ourselves. Of course, when I listen Fischer or Backhaus or Rubinstein, this is in my mind, this is my culture. But in the moment I study and I prepare something, this is myself. This is Maria Tipo speaking, Maria Tipo playing.
Tipo, 1992.
There is so much freedom in it. There is more freedom in Bach's music than in any other music.
Sergei Shepkin.
I would describe my Bach playing as somewhat romantic. After all, Bach was the favorite composer of Chopin.
Shepkin, recorded in 1998.
I like Bach more than I like Chopin, but I like Chopin tremendously also. And I think that the two of them have a lot in common. I don't think there is anything particularly wrong with Chopinization, as the Russian would put it, of Bach's music. I don't avoid it. I definitely don't avoid it. I think previously some pianists were afraid of playing Bach because of the stigma that was attached to playing Bach on the piano as opposed to playing Bach on the harpsichord. But I'm very happy to see that this is changing. And let's say the high priests of historical performance do not crack their whip at us. On the other hand, I must say that being familiar with recordings by those high priests of period performance certainly played a very important role in creating a different kind of approach.
You're listening to 20 Years After Glenn Gould on WNYC. I'm Sarah Fischko. All this Bach and talk of Bach is apropos of Glenn Gould, who for a while dominated the Bach piano scene. These six pianists, Edward Aldwell, Vladimir Feltzmann, Angela Hewitt, Murray Pariah, Sergei Shepkin, and Maria Tipo, have gone their own ways with Bach. Their attitude toward Gould is both worshipful and critical. No one was more critical of Glenn Gould than Gould himself. As you may know, he gave up the concert stage in favor of the recording studio for many complicated reasons, not the least of which was his feeling that giving concerts was affecting the way he played Bach, for example. More from that 1964 interview with John McClure.
I think also that the concert experience of us is very bad for the performing musician, and I can give you no better instance of that than what it did to me in the few years, relatively few years, when I trod the boards, as they say. I went to Russia about a decade ago, and that was my first tour abroad, and at that time I was very fond, as most concert performers are, of playing the same safe set of secure repertoire pieces. One of my favorite pieces in those days was the fifth partita of Bach, you know, the bum bum bum, the nice G major one. It was absolutely my favorite Bach partita at that time, maybe still. So favorite, in fact, that I played it on virtually every program. When I would first play in Leningrad, that would be the feature work of the first half of the program, ditto in Moscow, etc. If it was not on a program, it might even turn up, partially at any rate, as an encore. Mm. And when I came back from that tour, I decided to record it, and it was, I swear, the worst Bach recording that I've ever made. It was also the most pianistic. It was perhaps the one that the connoisseur of the piano would like best. It's the one that I like least because it's least Bach. It's least me, vis-a-vis Bach, in any case. It's full of all sorts of dynamic hang-ups. It's full of crescendi and diminuendi that have no part in the structure and the skeleton of that music, and defy one to portray the skeleton adequately.
Accrued bad habits, is that
accrued it? Bad habits, precisely, and the reason that they got into it was that I had to play it in very large halls, which weren't set up with Bach in mind, certainly, and to try to project it to that man up there in the top balcony. And as I did that, I gradually picked up all kinds of what I suppose Sir Tyrone Guthrie would call bits of business, you know, and I added this hairpin and that hairpin to a phrase that didn't demand it, didn't need it, and that ultimately destroyed the fabric of the music.
What kind of thing? Can you illustrate it?
Well, let me try by playing as I recall. I played that recording 10 or 11 years ago. Perhaps I'm not doing it quite adequately. Perhaps I'm not remembering exactly, and perhaps I'm exaggerating just a bit. Here's a bit of the Allemande. But I'm quite sure that if I'd not managed to mess up my interpretation of that piece by giving so many public performances of it, I might have played it with some regard for the structure of the music, maybe something like this.
Glenn Gould in a 1964 interview. Whether talking or playing, Gould was an experience. All of the pianists we've heard from have had some listening experience with Gould, whether they position themselves as like him or unlike him. In the music of Bach, he is a reference point. Edward Aldwell.
I remember some years ago just happening to turn on the radio and in the middle of a Glenn Gould performance of the D major partita and got to the Sarabande. I remember thinking that nobody else would play it that way. But there was a kind of quality about it. I felt this sounds kind of silly, I suppose, but I really felt like I was sort of looking at or listening to his soul. There was something just so direct in the expression of how he felt about that. It really did reveal something about him that was very touching, very beautiful and very, very touching. In terms of exactly how that piece should be played, I'm not at all sure that it was what it should be. This, of course, I think is the two sides of a performing artist, actually. On the one hand, one really does have a responsibility to the composer, and that what one is supposed to do is reveal what is in the composition. And that's not just an idealistic thing, it's also a practical thing, because let's face it, the music of Bach is greater than any performer. So really, ideally, that's what one is after. At the same time, the performer's personality comes into it whether he wants it to or not. And if there's no personality, it doesn't matter how dedicated one is to the music, it ain't gonna do anything.
Been listening to a Fishko Files special 20 years after Glenn Gould on WNYC. Post-production on the program was by Paul Ruest, with production assistance by Nancy Roach. Thanks to Michael Elsesser and Hester Furman. Thanks also to all the participating pianists. I was producer and host. I'm Sarah Fishko.